remembering Robert Paul's affair. After a decades-long illness, on Thursday, 5th June, Robert Paul's affair was absorbed into the eternal. Paul was in close association with Arunachala Ashrama for 40 years. On Sunday, 15th June, a well-attended memorial service was conducted in the ashrama. The following piece, written by the one who knew him best, Evelyn K. Safair, was read out by her during the program. I would like to begin with a message of condolence sent to me from India last Sunday by our good friend and fellow devotee, T.S. Vaidyanathan, who wrote, Paul had a remarkable devotion to art. In talks with Sri Ramana Maharishi, we see reference to the spiritual ideal of beauty as follows. If, however, the aspirant is not temperamentally suited to Vichara Marga, the introspective analytical method of meditation, he must develop devotion to an ideal God, Guru, humanity in general, ethical laws, or even the idea of beauty, Paul's ideal. May his soul ever rest in peace. It is true that where painting and drawing were concerned, Paul was absolutely one-pointed. He would fall out of bed and go to his drawing table and work for hours, only to come up for air, for ablutions and meals. His nature was that of a mystical solitary. As long as he could paint, he was never restless. He never had a creative block, nor did he ever repeat himself. He would work on two projects and have the next percolating in his mind. Paul also loved and was gifted in classical music, having received instruction on the piano from his father from the age of 3 and full encouragement from both parents. His mom, Lil, was a very gifted pianist in her youth also. Paul would tell how he got in big trouble as a boy for leaving a baseball game when he told his teammates he wanted to go home to practice piano. His taste gravitated toward music full of life. Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, interpreters Glenn Gould and Horowitz. However, he also enjoyed listening to occasional YouTube videos of Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, and other pioneers of early rock. Paul is well known for his love of the zany and irreverent movies of Mel Brooks, which he, and therefore I, had seen so often that a mere look or allusion would tell me what gag he had in his mind. Paul was culturally Jewish, but also a lover of Jesus. For almost a year, he had me read to him from the Gospel of Thomas at bedtime and would remind me if I forgot. His favorite quote was as follows. The disciples said to Jesus, "Tell us how our end will come to pass." Jesus said, "Then have you laid bare the beginning so that you are seeking the end? For the end will be where the beginning is. Blessed is the person who stands at rest in the beginning, and that person will be acquainted with the end and will not taste death." It was January 18, 1975, when Robert Paul Safair, heretofore known as Bob, stepped across the threshold of the storefront incarnation of Sri Arunachala Ashrama on East 6th Street in Manhattan, and in the guest book, he wrote the name of Paul. Did he know it to be a moment of fate, or did he just do so on a whim? Whatever the case, Paul began a new life on that evening when he met for the first time Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat, Margot Martin and me. For 9 years prior to our marriage, Paul traveled nightly to the ashrama, drawn by the peace that he found in the regular evening practice of chanting and silence, and the friendship of Bhagavad Ji. He said to me, "Bhagavat was my guru. He taught me how to meditate." Sometime during this period, Paul had a dream that he was desperately struggling up a mountain path. One by one, he discarded his burdens, and he was finally led by Bhagavan into a place of infinite light and freedom at the mountain's summit. It may be that Paul was alluding to this dream in the watercolor that we have reproduced as a small gift to you all in his remembrance. During the 2 months that Paul spent at Sri Arunachala in 1982-83, he sat all around the hill in ecstasy, painting and drawing the holy mountain from different vantage points. Paul received the kind blessings of Sri Ramaswamy Pillai and Kunjaswamy during that visit. On return from a trip to an Ayurvedic physician in Chennai, at the time Madras, Ramaswamy Pillai told Paul, "Once you have been to a doctor, you must carry out all his instructions with faith. But you should have no sankalpa or wish. You must remember you were already in Bhagavan's treatment." To me, he said with all exuberance, "He is worried about his health. I have been praying for him. I pray and pray, and then I leave it to Bhagavan. If we keep grasping, then he can't take hold. We must let go with both hands." As Paul's meditative life deepened, his artwork gained a gentle, focused, luminous, and visionary quality. He was set aflame by his time working directly from the untamed beauty along the shores of the St. Lawrence River, bordering Canada. Paul's understated spirituality became more apparent to those friends near enough to appreciate the detachment, patience, and gentle humor with which he bore the loss of his physical independence. Indeed, the loss of his outward mobility seemed to drive his creativity inward, so that his artwork partook of ever deeper reaches of his inner spirit. He has brought the depth of his being to light. His soul is in his work. But of course, there was Paul, my companion and soulmate. I shall give thanks every day for the gift of such a one.